Find your place in Mark chapter 8 tonight, Mark chapter number 8. We're doing what I call our patchwork through the Gospels. If you remember, I preached through the book of Matthew, and as I was preaching through that book, if Mark, Luke, and John, or any of them dealt with it, then I tried to preach it all together. So since we've gotten through the book of Matthew, I've moved right into Mark, and I'm dealing with passages in Mark that were not found in the Gospel of Matthew. I hope that makes sense, what I just said to you, all right? So we've come to Mark chapter number 8. This is a passage that Matthew did not deal with, and we're doing our patchwork through the Gospels here. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Mark 8, verse 22. The Bible says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida," that's the Lord, "cometh to Bethsaida. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town." Now, if you mark your Bible, the title of my message is found in verse 22. It's the phrase, a blind man. We're going to consider this blind man tonight as we preach on a blind man. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Speak to our hearts, challenge us, and get across this night what you've laid on my heart. Speak to me. Speak through me. Speak to all of us. Make us more like Jesus as a result of being here. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean, I pray, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in this story, we see a blind man is brought to Jesus Christ. The Lord takes this blind man by the hand and leads him out of town. And while he's out of town, he spits on his eyes and puts his hands upon him. Now the Lord asked the man after this if he saw aught. In other words, do you see anything? To which the blind man responded that he saw men walking as trees. In other words, he says, I can see figures, but they're not clear. After this, the Lord put his hands back on the blind man's eyes, and he had the man look up. And at this time, the blind man, the Bible says, was restored and saw every man clearly. Now, according to my study, this word clearly here carries the idea of 20/20 vision. In other words, Jesus has given him his sight completely and fully. The Lord then told this man to go back to his own house. And he told this man, don't go back into this town. And whatever you do, don't tell anybody in the town what's happened. Now, this story is brief. As a matter of fact, it takes up 5 verses in the Word of God. But these 5 verses are packed full of practical truths. Now, as we look at these things together tonight, I want you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Ask Him to speak to mine. I'm asking Him to speak to me and speak through me tonight. There are 3 simple thoughts I'm going to give you about this blind man. But there are several thoughts of application underneath these things. Number one, let's notice together, first of all, a blind man brought to Christ. We see him, number one, brought to Christ. Now we see this in verse number 22. Notice what the Bible says. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. Now, it's interesting here to note how this blind man was brought to Jesus by other people. The Word of God does not give us their names. As a matter of fact, we don't know who these people were. The Holy Spirit, who inspired the Word of God, saw fit not to share their names, but only to share what they did. Now, these people knew this man had a problem, and that Jesus was the one who could solve his problem. They knew he had a problem beyond what they could help with. In other words, they realized that this man was beyond any human help. They realized that they were just human beings and that they could not help him like Jesus could. Now, it's wonderful to see that when these people, whoever they were, took time to bring this blind man to Christ, it's wonderful to see how the Lord responded to them. He did not reject their efforts. Basically, he did not reject them, he rewarded them. Now get this, whoever these people were, nobody knows who they were, we can learn a great lesson from them. And that lesson is this, it doesn't really matter who we are. But who we are can make a difference in bringing others to Jesus Christ. What I mean by this is this. We all need to realize that there are those around us who have real problems. I'm telling you that really the only answer to any problem is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what I mean by that is this. Even if it takes medicine to correct it, that medicine came from Jesus Christ. Because the Bible teaches in the book of James that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Which means this. Somebody says, no, that doctor helped me. No, King Jesus helped you. The reason I say that is because that doctor's know-how come from God. I mean, he didn't just teach himself. God gave him a brain that he can think with. I'm telling you that it's time we understand that whether it's spiritual needs, whether it's financial needs, whether it's emotional needs, whether it's physical needs, whether it's marital needs, makes no difference what kind of need it is. The answer is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should spend our days bringing others to Christ. Now, yes, this obviously applies to soul winning. There's no question about that. That's a given within the Word of God. But I remind you that this is this man's physical problem. And even though we can apply this to bringing others to Christ spiritually and soul winning, we all should do that. But what I'm trying to get across to you is this. There are many times in our life when, depending on the size of the problem, that depends on whether we point him to Jesus Christ or not. In other words, what I'm trying to get across here is while we can obviously apply this to spiritually blind people and how they need to be snatched out of darkness in the light. By the way, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. In other words, somebody who's lost, the Bible says they are spiritually blind. So this physical blind man can obviously be a picture of a spiritual blind man. And just like there's other unnamed servants who bring this man to Christ, we need some unnamed servants who will bring others to Christ so that he can save their never dying soul. But the point I'm trying to get across here is that we need to understand something. Every need, I don't care what it is, I'm talking about the problem solver in that need is Jesus Christ. There is nothing too small for him to solve. And there's nothing too big for him to solve. Let me say this. And there's nothing I can solve. And there's nothing you can solve. Are you understanding what I'm trying to get across here? I'm trying to get across to us that it's time that we realize I can't help you, but I know somebody who can. And we constantly point people to Jesus Christ. We constantly bring others to the foot of the cross. This is the first thing we learn about this blind man. We see he was brought to Christ. Now get this. It is a privilege. And by the way, it's also a great liberator, if you will. For me as the pastor of this church to look at you as my voice is struggling, as you can tell, and I look at you and with a struggling voice, I look you right in the eyeball and I tell you, I can't help you. That's a very liberating thing for me. If you ever come to me for help, I'll do everything I can to help you, but I'm going to tell you up front what I'm going to do. I will not give you what I can give. I'll point you to somebody who has something I don't have. His name is Jesus Christ. See, this is now, I'm not trying to throw punches, friends, okay? So please don't misunderstand me. But this is why it's always good to go to your pastor with problems. It's always good to go to somebody like Brother Gary. It's always good to go to somebody like Brother John or Brother Bob let me tell you why. I am not trying to bash anything, but some people will try to go to a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and all these other kind of colleges, or whatever you want to call it. Let me tell you something, friends. If they're not spiritual, they're not going to help you a dime. They'll take your dimes from you, but they won't help you a dime. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a time and place for some of that. I'm not belittling that, but I'm telling you this. Every problem has one answer, and his name is Jesus Christ. I don't care what it is. I'm talking about if it's a problem with bitterness, if it's a problem with drugs, if it's a problem with pornography, if it's a marital problem, if it's a financial problem, the answer is found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in a bottle. It's not found in pills. It's found in Christ. And what we need to do is spend our life pointing others to Christ, bringing others to Christ. I'm telling you, if you come to me, are you listening to me? It's confidential. I hope you understand that. But if you come to me, I'm just telling you, we're not going to stay in my office. I'm going to take you somewhere else. I'm talking in spiritual terms. I'm going to take you to the foot of the one who can answer any problems you have. Friends, listen to me. We are growing up in a society that believes and even teaches by what they tell people when they have problems that this is too big for God. You need somebody else. See, when you tell somebody, you need to go see this quack over here, or you need to go see that doctor over there, or you need to go see him, what are you telling them about God at that moment? What are you telling them? You know what you're telling them? That he is not enough. But this human being is. Now think about that statement. There is no human being as big as God is, friends. I don't care what kind of training they have. I'm telling you, it's time we understand God made us. God formed us. He knows what's happening in our lives before the world began. And he's the answer to every one of our problems. Do you understand that tonight? I'm not saying that there's not a time that you need to take that. I'm not saying that. Because God can use some of those things, but I'm saying if you bypass God, you're missing it, friends. You're missing it. See, there's no pill, there's no bottle on earth that's going to deliver you from anything if King Jesus is not ruling and reigning in your heart. It's awful quiet in here, but that's okay. Because I'm going to tell you something. When we really go to God with our problems, we will find out he really is the answer. He really is. A blind man, number one, brought to Christ. Number two, a blind man led out of town. You say, what's that mean? Notice verse number 23. The Bible says this. And he, that's Jesus, took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. A blind man brought to Christ, a blind man led out of town. Now, the Word of God shares with us here how the Lord responded to this man's need. But an interesting thing happened. What the Lord did, he took this man by the hand, and the Bible says he led him out of the town. Now, this is powerful, okay? I know that's my word there, but there's a powerful truth that comes out here. As we consider what the Lord is doing, he's teaching us something here. Now, I want you to hold your place here, but flip back to the book of Matthew with me just a moment. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Why did the Lord lead this man out of the town of Bethsaida? Why did he do it? Why didn't he just choose to stay right there in town, draw a crowd, and then show them that he's getting ready to open this man's blind eyes? Now stay with me here. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 20. Then began he, Jesus, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now look at me. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, that the Lord is now upbraiding some cities. He's upbraiding some towns. He's getting in their face here because he did many mighty works in their, I'm talking about within their town, but they did not repent. Notice who he talks to. Verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, what? Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it should be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Flip back to our text. Wait on me there. Here's the point. The point here is in Matthew chapter 11, the Lord Jesus Christ had already visited that town. And the Lord Jesus Christ had done many mighty works there. I mean, the Bible even says in Matthew 11, 20, it says he did many mighty works. Many, not some, not a few, many mighty works in that town. And they would not listen. They would not repent. They would not get right with God. They refused the light they had. So you fast forward to Mark chapter 8. Here's what I'm saying. They had already seen the mighty works done by the Son of God, which they rejected. They were given the opportunity to repent of their sins and to turn to the Savior. But they rather rejected Him to the point that the Son of God said, okay, that's enough. No more works here. No more miracles for you, Bethsaida. I'm finished. Now get this. Therefore, when the blind man was brought to him inside the city limits of Bethsaida, the Son of God kindly took him by the hand and marched him out of town. Now I think you're getting what I'm trying to say. He took this man out of this town because his curse had already fallen upon it. There would be no more evidence given in that place. They had rejected the light they were given. Therefore, no more light would be spread. The Lord even commanded this blind man in verse number 26. Notice what he said. He said, don't you go back into the town and tell them this. You make sure you don't tell anybody in the town. Notice the language. That's what he says, verse number 26. Can I say this to you? It is dangerous to reject the light that God gives. It's dangerous. Matter of fact, somebody said this, light obeyed increases light, but light disobeyed increases darkness. There's a passage in Romans. There's a passage in Romans that those who call themselves Calvinists, which we are not, but those who call themselves Calvinists try to back you up into a corner because they say, look there. The verse that says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart because the clay's in the potter's hands and the potter can do anything with the clay. Calvinists will try to use that on you, but I've studied that out, and you know what the Lord's teaching? You know what He's teaching? You go back to the book of Exodus and read it. The first several times in Exodus, the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart. 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 And then all of a sudden, God hardened it. You know what that passage is teaching? That passage is not teaching that God hardened his heart from the beginning. That passage is teaching that God had enough with Pharaoh. And that Pharaoh really was in the potter's hands. In other words, if God wants to leave the door of opportunity open and leave it pliable, He can. But if He wants to harden it, He can do that too. The ultimate timing is in His hands, not Pharaoh's hands. Do you see that? That's what this passage is teaching. See the Son of God walking through the town of Bethsaida, and they bring this blind man to Him, and he reaches down. He knows what he's getting ready to do, but he reaches down and grabs his hand and takes him outside the city limits because he had already shown who he is. He had already done many mighty works, and they refused to listen to him. So God said, no more. You know, it is dangerous when God speaks to your heart for you to say, not now. Because I'm going to tell you something. He may never speak to you again. It is up to Him when He speaks. And if you say no to Him, He may never speak again. I'm reminded of a girl. I'm going by memory here. But this girl went to a preaching service on a Sunday morning. And when they went home that night, she got with her mother and she said, Mother, she said, I nearly came... During the invitation, I nearly went forward. She said, as a matter of fact, I knew I needed to go forward so much that I literally had to grab on to the church pew. Her mother was brokenhearted and called her name and said, why didn't you go? She said, that's been the prayer of your mother for a long time. She said, I've been praying for that. Why didn't you go? And she said this. She said, well, I've got a dance I want to go to on Wednesday night. And I promised God. I said, God, I want to go to that dance, but next Sunday, I promise you, I'll give you my heart. And she went on Wednesday night, but she came down with a cold and caught pneumonia, and she was dead before the next Sunday morning. They buried that little girl, probably a teenager, I guess, and they say the mother just walked around the tomb, just like this walking around the grave, saying, gone to hell, gone to hell, and the dance did it. You know what that girl's problem was? She tried to put God in a box. Somebody says, I thought God's a gracious God. Why didn't God let her live to the next Sunday morning? Because that previous Sunday morning was the time He spoke to her. And she played games with it. She thought she'd get saved anytime she wants to. No, no, no. You get saved when God speaks to your heart. He used the Word of God to do it. He used the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. But if you turn a deaf ear to that, let me tell you something, friends. There could come a day when instead of showing you any more miracles, he's going to take all his miracles by the hand and make sure you don't see another one. Now, I know this is a Wednesday night, but I'm just preaching through books. And this is a powerful thought that comes through. Could it be that there's somebody listening to me right now that in your heart you don't know for sure that heaven's your home? And the whole time you think to yourself, hey, I've got all the time in the world. What's the big deal? The big deal is this. You can live to be 150 years old, but if God doesn't speak to your heart anymore, it's over, friends. It's over. It is dangerous when the Holy Spirit of God speaks for you to say no. Bethsaida said no, 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 no. And finally God said, okay, no. But you know what doesn't really stop here? Genesis 6:3 says this, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. But on the flip side of this, because that's kind of doom and gloom. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that? That's kind of doom and gloom there for Bethsaida. But on the flip side of this truth, even though a town was condemned, the Lord took an individual out of that town and ministered to him. See, this goes to show that even though a town was cursed, the Lord can still touch individuals in that place if he so chooses. For instance, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around our country and realize that our country is seemingly turning against God. If anybody doesn't see that, they're wearing blinders. I mean, friends, when they try to uplift things that God has condemned, and they try to condemn things that God uplifts, our country's not going in God's direction. And listen to me, it is possible that God can do with America what he did with Bethsaida. It's very possible. I hope he doesn't. I pray he doesn't. But if America keeps going on in this, I mean, friends, they're even letting now men in certain states, they're allowing men to go into ladies' restrooms because that's just what they prefer. That's just who they think they are. So if a man thinks he's a woman, he wants to go into the ladies' restroom, let him go. Don't offend him. Folks, that's perversion. I mean, come on a little bit. I'm telling you that this country as a whole, just in general terms, this country is turning against God. I understand now, I've not really verified this, but I understand now that there's a book coming out in our public school system. It may already be there, I'm not sure, but I know in certain parts of the country, the story that I read from a very reliable source is now saying that they have literally rewritten the history book of America. And that inside that history book, they devote like 20-some pages to the Muslim religion, but not one page to Christianity. Not one. But Muslims are okay. This country's turning against God, friends. But you know what God's showing me here under this point, that he was led out of town? And even though the whole place was condemned, he still took time for that individual. You know what that tells me? That tells me, God forbid it, but that tells me that if the judgment hand of God falls on America, I can still have the blessing of God on my life. And so can you. So can you. See, just because he condemned the city, the town, it didn't cause him not to reply to this individual's need. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across there? So let this speak to your heart. See, the Bible says in Psalm 9:17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. However, even if this country has the judgment hand of God pronounced upon it, friends, listen, God can still take time for you. And he will take time for his children. You know, the devil tries to use things like this, that God's hand of judgment is going to fall, it's going to fall, it's going to fall, and it's all doom and gloom and all of this. And the devil tries to use that just to scare you to death, make you have to pop pills and all this kind of stuff, and you're losing sleep over it. Listen to me, friends. God's still on the throne. God's going to take care of his own. God is not going to let anything hurt his children. At least, nothing's going to touch his children that doesn't pass through his hands. Nothing. And if it does come through his hands, even if it doesn't feel like it, ultimately it's the best thing for us. I mean, even God said this. He said, don't fear those who kill the body, but after that they have no power. That's in the Word of God. Do you know that? He said, don't fear those that all they can do is kill you. That's what he said. Don't fear those that all they can do is cut your head off. Rather, fear him who can, after he's killed the body, can send the soul to hell. In other words, we're not to fear man, we're to fear God. And I'm trying to uplift right here a little bit that just like Bethsaida turned against God and God pronounced judgment, hey, listen to me, it's dangerous to turn against God. But even if a whole country, a whole city, a whole town turns against it, God can still take individuals in that place and still bless their life in a tremendous way. That's number two. Then number three, we see a blind man brought to Christ. We see a blind man led out of town. And then number three, we see a blind man healed by the Lord. We see this in verses 23 to 25. Notice what happened here. He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now in these verses, we see how the Lord took this man out of town. He then took some of his saliva, his spittle, put it on this man's eyes and put his hands upon him. After this, the man could see, but not clearly. So the Lord touched his eyes again, the Bible says, and the man's sight was restored perfectly. Now, studying this, there are many people, many good people, godly people, and I'm not going to go to war with them. I'm not even going to disagree with them here. But studying this, a lot of them try to spiritualize this and say that he's trying to teach how a new convert is not going to see things clearly at first. He's going to have to grow. Well, friends, you have to spiritualize that text to get that, okay? Now, I'm not going to go to battle with anybody on that, but I'm not going to preach it that way. Because all I know is that Jesus took a blind man, spit on his eyes, touched them. He couldn't see clearly, so he touched them again, and now he's seeing 20/20 vision. So while I'm not going to fight against anybody that tries to do that, because that truth is true, I don't think that that's what this passage is teaching, but that truth is found elsewhere in Scripture. But I want to give you three things quickly here that we can all agree on. You know what I like to do when I preach text? Give you truths that nobody can disagree with. Now, sometimes there are texts that good and godly people differ on it, and both truths are found within the Word of God. But I try to always be honest with you when we come to a passage like that. But this is one of those passages that the three thoughts I want to give you here is thoughts that you can't argue with. You can't even disagree with it. That's the kind of things I like to put on your plate for you to take home and chew on a little bit. Let me give you three things here. It's all under healed by the Lord. First of all, let us learn that Jesus was willing to help this man. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's no doubt that the Lord Jesus was extremely busy. There's no doubt about it. However, it's a blessing to me to see how he purposely took time to be with this man. In other words, get this. Is the Lord busy? Sure. Was he busy? Sure. But he was never too busy to stop and help somebody hurting. Now, what can we learn from this? We learn from that thought right there that while God has a whole lot to do, he's not too busy for me. And he's not too busy for you. Don't ever feel that you're bugging God by taking your problems to him. He wants you to come to him. He desires for you to come to him. And as busy as he is, I know he's God, and I'm talking in terms. I mean, how can God be busy? I know that. What I'm talking about is here in his human flesh. I mean, I'm talking about when he was walking on earth, he got busy, he got tired. Hey, friends, he got upset with things. But he never got too tired to help somebody who needed him. That's a precious thing about the Lord. You know, that's a good thing for us to remember as well. Are there times that you're worn out? Are there times that you're tired? Are there times that you're just dragging and you don't know if you're going to make it? The fact of the matter is, let us learn the example of Christ. And even after he and the disciples heard about the death of John the Baptist, he said, get on the ship and let's go to the other side so we can get some rest. But when they got to the other side, hoping for a little vacation, there was hundreds and maybe thousands of people gathered. And the Lord took time and had compassion on them. He was worn out. He was tired. He was sleepy. But he wasn't too busy to stop and help. That's something I see here. Let me give you a second thing I see here. I see, secondly, let us learn that Jesus can heal any way he wants to. You say, what are you talking about? Here the Lord spit on this man's eyes and touched them twice before completely healing him. But you remember a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus? All the Lord did with him was speak to him, and he healed, and he healed him. What about the blind man that he spit on the ground and made clay and anointed his eyes with clay and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam? And remember the Pharisees, whoever it was, said, hey, who is it that healed you? Who is it? Who is it? And this blind man said, I don't know all those things, but one thing I do know. Whereas I was blind, now I can see. He went on and said this. He said, a man named Jesus made clay. Brother Keith Kaiser used to preach a message on that thought. A man named Jesus made clay. The fact of the matter is this. With that man with the pool of Siloam, he had him go wash. He put clay on his eyes. With Bartimaeus, he just had to speak to him. But with this, and he spit on his eyes and touched his eyes once and then had to touch him twice. What's that mean? Does that mean that this man was harder to reach than Bartimaeus? No. It's just teaching us this. The Lord can do anything he wants to, anytime he wants to. And he can heal any way he wants to. He can heal instantaneously, or he may take a while to do it. You understand what I'm saying to you? What do we want? I would just speak to me and let it be instantaneous. But if it's not that, hey, you know what he might be doing? He may just be spitting on your eyes. He may just want to bring you gradually along. You don't know what he's doing, but I know this. If he can open blinded eyes, surely he can help me with my problems. But I don't need to put him in a box and say, well, I'll tell you one thing. If he doesn't heal me that way, then I guess there's just no hope for me. No, listen to me. The Lord has a lot of weapons in his arsenal. He can do anything he wants to do. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Which means that this blind man, I don't know, I can't prove it, but maybe he heard about how just blind Bartimaeus, he just spoke to him, but now he's got spit running in his eyes. Right. What's he doing? Can't you see the blessed Son of God just kind of sitting back and saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? You know how patient the Lord is. Let me ask you a question. How patient has he been with you? When he knows what he's doing, he knows he has all power, and so many times we don't believe it. We don't believe it. I'm telling you, this is how the Lord spoke to me here. Let me give you a third thing here that we can all agree on. Well, I like this one. Finally, we learned from where he healed this blind man that he was willing to spend time with him even though he was busy. He can heal any way he wants to, but number three, I like this. Jesus always finishes what he begins. What he begins, he'll always finish. What I mean by that is this. This man was brought to the Lord. Jesus took him by the hand. Led him out of town where he spit on his eyes and touched him. After this, the blind man couldn't see, but only clearly. I mean, he could see, but not clearly, you understand? You know, let me say this to you. The blind man could see more during the first time than he could before the Lord spit on his eyes. Would you rather not be able to see at all or see unclearly? He'd already performed a little bit of a miracle in this man's life. I mean, he couldn't see at all, and all of a sudden he could see things that are just blurry. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have blurry vision than no vision. Amen or not, friends? But you know, the Lord could have stopped there, and this man would have had enough to rejoice about. But the Lord didn't stop there. The Lord touched his eyes again and restored this man's eyesight completely. This just goes to show that the Lord was not going to stop until this man's healing was complete. Now, whatever the Lord begins, he always finishes. For instance, the Lord Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He went to the cross of Calvary where he cried, "It is finished." In other words, listen to me. The Lord didn't just come to die. He did die. And he did accomplish everything necessary for our salvation. There's nothing to be added, nothing to be taken away. Now get this. Along with this, if he has saved your soul, he's not finished. He's really not finished. I mean, the Bible says, yes, there's redemption. There's sanctification that's happening, but someday, glory to God, there's going to be glorification, which means someday we're going to be like Jesus. I'm talking about our body's going to be just like His body. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, and He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's the point I'm trying to get across here with this, is that what God starts, He always finishes. You know what I'm glad of? Hey, listen to me just a moment. If He saved me from my sin, but then when I died, my body just went into the ground, I would still have enough to preach the rest of my days on this earth just to say thank you for what you've done for me. But in His Word, He says this. He says, when He shall appear, we shall see Him, for we shall be like Him. You know what that tells me? This body that gets sick, this body that gets tired, this body that dies, this body that has cancer in it, not right now, God willing, but that can have cancer in it, this body that has shortcomings, this body that gets sleepy, this body that gets angry, this body that gets bitter, this body that, I mean, all this stuff. Listen, this is not the end. I didn't start it, and I'm not going to finish it. But I know who did start it. And I know that everything He starts, He finishes. So we ought to rejoice tonight that this is not the end. This is not the end. Matter of fact, the Word of God says it's never even entered the heart of man what God has laid in store for those that love Him. You know, I'm coming to a close here, but have you ever just stopped to think about heaven? You ever just stopped to dwell on it and think about it? I have. But I'll be honest with you, my mind only goes so far, and it's just like it drops off. There's a reason for that. Because in my body, I'm finite. He's infinite. There really is a place called heaven where we'll see Jesus. And all of our pain, all of our suffering, all of our trials and troubles will be over when we see Christ. In these five verses, there's a blind man brought to Christ. The Lord leads him out of town where He completely heals him. And let me give you these lessons that we've learned through this quickly and we'll be done. Number one, we should bring others to Christ. Number two, it's dangerous to reject God-given light. Number three, God can help individuals even in the midst of a forsaken place. Number four, Christ is not too busy for you. Number five, the Lord can heal any way He chooses. And number six, if He's begun a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. These are simple thoughts, but I trust that you'll take them and chew on them a little bit. Don't swallow them whole. Just keep them in your jaw and suck on them a little bit. Chew on them a little bit. And ask God to keep your mind upon them. Father, we love You. Thank You for this time. Bless us now, I pray. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. They're getting prepared for the invitation time. Boy, I sure do appreciate You coming out on a Wednesday night. God bless you. I know many of you are tired. Many of you have worked all day long. Many of you are worn out. Some of you may even be sick, but you've come to the house of God. And I want to commend you for doing the right thing. And I trust that the Lord has spoken to you tonight. I just want to work right straight down through this. Number one, are you 100% sure of heaven? Or are you in danger like Bethsaida that, hey, God had done many mighty works there, but they had turned a deaf ear to Him and said no to Him one too many times. And God finally said, okay, I'm the potter, you're the clay. You don't tell me what to do, I tell you what to do. So I will now harden your heart. It's over for you. Don't walk out of here. When the Holy Spirit of God speaks, don't walk out of here saying no to the light that God has shed on you. If there's one tonight, say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. I don't want to play games with God. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you because you've just not been bringing others to Christ. could be in a matter of soul winning, or it could be just in a matter of maybe a personal family crisis that maybe you've been trying to figure it out yourself, and God's just laying the law down to you and saying, listen, I never expected you to deal with that on your own. I'm not only the answer spiritually speaking, I'm the answer to physical things, I'm the answer to emotional things, I'm the answer to marital things, I'm the answer to financial things, I'm the answer to all of it, not just some of it. Or maybe God's speaking to you because you need His healing. Maybe your marriage needs healing. Maybe your finances need healing. Maybe your emotions need healing. Maybe nobody even knows about this, but God knows and He sees your heart. And the Lord is trying to speak to you that, hey, in a country that's turning against God, you don't have to. You can come to Me. And even though I may turn a deaf ear to America, I will not turn a deaf ear to a crying child. Or maybe God's speaking to you tonight because He's just encouraging your heart that what He's begun in you, He's going to finish it. Hey, this is not the end. There's better days coming. There's better days coming. May the Lord help us to see that and rest in it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you as He sings, you come now. Would you do that? Come now.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Are you bringing others to Christ? Is there a need you have that you need to be healed? Reminds me every now and then, just every now and then, about how hard life can be. I'm not talking about, hey, I'm not down to drudges or anything like that. I'm just saying, you understand what I'm saying to you? Life is full of heartache. Life is full of troubles and trials and tribulations. And may I say this? When you hurt, so do I. So do I. I want God to give me a heart that when folks in the church have problems, that my heart aches and breaks for them. In a church this size, there are problems everywhere. Some I don't even know about. But I know this. If you're a child of God, those things are temporary. They're not going to last forever. Place called heaven. And all those things have to stop at the gate. And the Holy Spirit of God says, no further. No more. No more heartache inside this place. No more death. No more trials. No more devil. No more darkness. This is the city of God. The Bible even says that He's not ashamed to be called our God. Think about that. Times I go against Him. But as He looks down at me, He says, I'm not ashamed of you. What a God is. May the Lord help us see it. Father, we love You. Bless now. Help us as we go our separate ways to feast on the truths of the Word of God. Bless us now. Help us, I beg, in Jesus' name. Amen, friends. Stay right there. Brother Wade, we have one item that we need to vote on, and then we'll be on our way, okay?